Last time we were together, we were just going to get started on Numbers chapter 1. Book of Numbers takes its name from the fact that there are two censuses of the Israeli people that are included in this book. The first one happens here in chapter 1 at the very beginning of the Exodus. And the reason for the census is because once they go into the Promised Land, every adult male, 20 years of age and older, is going to receive an inheritance, a piece of property. The reason there is a second Exodus at the end, or excuse me, a second census at the end of the book of Numbers is because it took a lot longer than a year and a half to get into the Promised Land because of sin. And that entire generation dies off. So everybody's names on this list, with the exception of two, are dead toward the end of the book of Numbers. So they have to take a second census. With that background, let's read again Numbers chapter 1, starting at verse 1. He who is spoke to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai, in the tent of meeting, on the first day of the second month, in the second year after they'd come out of the land of Egypt. So basically a few days after they had finished with their first Passover unleavened bread anniversary. The first day of the second month in this particular year would have been Friday, the daylight hours of Friday, 19 May of 1455 BC. And this is what God says. Take a census of all the congregation of the people of Israel by clans, by fathers' houses, according to the number of names, every male head by head, from 20 years old and upward, all in Israel who are able to go to war. They did not have a standing army. Every adult male, 20 years of age, upward, who was physically capable of holding a weapon, were considered part of the militia. And so that's the group that will be designated as heirs of property when they go into the Promised Land. These are the names of the men who shall assist you. So he's not going to be out here counting every person on his own. He will designate the heads of the tribes. And that's exactly what we see in the next few verses. You have the 12 tribes cited and the names of the heads of those 12 tribes mentioned. These are the same guys that brought tribal gifts on the first 12 days of the first month as part of the dedication of the tabernacle. From the tribe of Judah, the most significant one for our purposes, that leader is Nahshon, who is an ancestor of King David and, of course, of Jesus through Mary. We skip through the names because it's repetitive that I don't think is important to the story here. Verse 16, these are the ones chosen from the congregation, the chiefs of their ancestral tribes, the heads of the clans of Israel. Moses and Aaron took these men who had been named, and on the first day of the second month, they assembled the whole congregation together, who registered themselves by clans, by fathers' houses, according to the number of names from 20 years old and upward, head by head, as he who has commanded Moses. And so they listed them in the wilderness of Sinai. So it took a full day, but dividing it up amongst 12 leaders, with probably some helpers with that, they get it done. And these are the reports, and I'm not going to read them. I'm not going to read every word here. I'm going to just read the name of the tribe and the total number. Verse 21, Reuben, 46,500. Verse 23, Simeon, 59,300. Verse 25, Gad, 46,650. Verse 27, Judah, 74,600. Then we have Issachar in verse 29, 54,400. Then in verse 31, we have Zebulun, 57,400. Then in verse 33, the tribe of Ephraim, 40,500. Then in verse 35, Manasseh, 32,200. Then the tribe of Benjamin in verse 37, 35,400. Tribe of Dan in verse 39, 62,700. Verse 41, Asher, 41,500. Verse 43, Naphtali, 53,400. And that's 12 tribes. Verse 44, these are those who were listed, whom Moses and Aaron listed with the help of the chiefs of Israel, 12 men, each representing his father's house. And so all of those listed of the people of Israel by their father's houses, from 20 years old and upward, every man able to go to war in Israel, all those listed were 603,550. And so this is where we get our number to talk about how large the ethnic group of Israel, the ethnic nation of Israel, was in 1455 BC, which means that they had an exponential increase in the last 430 years, because when they arrived in Egypt, they were about 70. And so they have been really prosperous to come to this number. Now, it is possible, and you can run the numbers on it, to do this if you have big families most of the time. And so we know the very first family of this line was 12 boys. And so probably that sort of having of kids has led to this monster group. So based on that, we can, I think, comfortably say there's a couple of million, probably more, that are in this assembly out here in the wilderness. Now, we've already talked about the rest of, we're not there yet. Verse 47. The Levites were not listed among them by their ancestral tribe, for he who is spoke to Moses, saying, only the tribe of Levi you shall not list. So they're not going to have an ordinary census with the rest of the tribes. There'll be explanations about that later. Verse 50, appoint the Levites over the tabernacle of the testimony and over all its furnishings and over all that belongs to it. They are to carry the tabernacle and all its furnishings, and they shall take care of it and shall camp around the tabernacle. When the tabernacle is set up, the Levites shall take it down. When the tabernacle is to be pitched, the Levites shall set it up. And if any outsider comes near, he shall be put to death. So we've talked about this before, that the Levites have been selected by God because of their loyalty on the day of the golden calf incident. They have been selected to become the muscle for the tabernacle. They're going to carry all the implements of the tabernacle from place to place, and they are going to provide security whenever it is in place. That will be their job, and they will be assisting the priests as the priests go through their job of ministering between the people to God and from God to the people. More on that later. But the Levites, they're camped all around the tabernacle. Verse 52. The people of Israel shall pitch their tents by their companies, each man in his own camp and each man by his own standard. We'll get more detail about that. But the Levites shall camp around the tabernacle of testimony so that there may be no wrath on the congregation of the people of Israel. The Levites shall keep guard over the tabernacle of the testimony, And thus did the people of Israel. They did according to all that he who is commanded them. So now that we've got the tabernacle set up, and we've got a census of the people taken, and the Levites have been designated as the carriers of the tabernacle elements and as the protectors of it, there is a huge shift of where everybody is located in the encampment of Israel in relationship to the tabernacle structure. Verse 1 of chapter 2. He who is spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, "The people of Israel shall camp, each by his own standard, with the banners of their fathers' houses." So evidently they had some sort of flag or some sort of banner, a hanging banner that has maybe the name of the tribe, or maybe it actually has some sort of symbol. It has been suggested that there may have been animals to represent each of the tribes, and that this is the reason that we later read in Scripture about the lion of the tribe of Judah, that the emblem of their tribe was a lion. And we know heraldry does use animals. This has nothing to do with worship of animals. This has nothing to do with idolatry. This is symbolism. And so they have some sort of indicating banner for each of these camps. They shall camp facing the tent of meeting on every side. So everybody's tents will have their opening toward the tabernacle. Now, since they're on all sides of the tabernacle, everybody's tents will be facing a different direction on the compass. Verse 3 begins explaining which tribes go where. To the camp on the east side, toward the sunrise. Now, the sunrise is a very important part of the Israeli compass, of the Middle Eastern compass, because the sunrise is the direction of the beginning of a day. And so for the Israeli people, everything was situated toward the sunrise. The tabernacle is facing sunrise. The right hand is to the south, the left hand is to the north, and behind is west. And you will see that from time to time in directions within the Scripture. And so the east side of the tabernacle is the most prominent side because it is the opening side of the tabernacle. So verse 3 again, those to camp on the east toward the sunrise shall be the standard of the camp of Judah by their companies. And the chief of the people of Judah being Nashon, the son of Amminadab, and his company is listed as being 74,600. So we have our numbers again repeated here. And I'm not going to read every number again as we go through here. I'm going to summarize. So Judah tribe is immediately east of the entrance to the tabernacle complex. We'll find out later that the tribe of the high priest will actually be between Judah tribe and the front gate of the temple, because the family of the high priest is going to be required to be at the front gate. And now, the tribe of Judah is going to have two associated tribes with them on the east side. Those tribes are Issachar and the tribe of Zebulun. Now, which side they're on, I can't be altogether certain. But in verse number 9, we are reminded that when it comes time to break up the encampment and move to the next location, it will be the east side encampment that starts following the presence of God first, with Judah at the head and Issachar and Zebulun close behind. Through this whole chapter, it's going to take that same structure. First, we have the central tribe on the south side. That's verse number 10, and that's the tribe of Reuben. And his associated tribes are Simeon and Gad. And when it comes time for the encampment to break up and move out, it will be this group that follows behind the first group of three tribes. That's in verse number 16. Then in verse 17, we move to the back side. We're not quite there yet, I'm sorry. Verse 17. Then, after we've got these first two groups of six tribes that have set out on the journey, then the tent of meeting shall set out with the camp of the Levites in the midst of the camps. As they camp, so they shall set out, each in position, standard by standard. So basically, you've got the tribe of the high priest that's at the front gate. They're going to kind of orchestrate the taking down of the tabernacle. But it's the Levites who are camping on the south, west, and north sides. They break their camps up, and then they start taking the tabernacle down and packing it up and getting it ready to go. And so as soon as the first six tribes have headed out following the presence of God to the next encampment, that's when, by that time, the tabernacle is all packed up and ready to go. And so the middle group between the first six tribes and the last six tribes is going to be the tabernacle tribes, basically the Levites. Now, verse 18. On the west side, we're going to have the main encampment leader is Ephraim. And then his associated tribes are Manasseh and Benjamin. And down in verse 24, it tells you they shall be the third of the 12 tribe groups that take out. And then finally, that leaves us the north side, because we've gone clockwise around the compass, if you're looking down from the sky. On the north side, the main encampment is Dan, and his associated tribes are Asher and Naphtali, and they are the last group to break out. They're the rear guard, and Dan may in fact be the tail end Charlie of this march. He's the rear guard that keeps everybody safe. And the thing to remember from this as well is that this order of march seems to also be the order by which they offered their sacrifices and their donation gifts on the first 12 days of the dedication of the tabernacle. And interestingly enough, you had the priests and the Levites finishing up their 7 days of dedication on the seventh day. And so they're kind of right smack in the middle of the 12 tribes marching, aren't they? So they are in the number 7 spot, if you want to count them. All right. Then we're reminded again, the total of all these people together, the men, 20 years of age and older, that's in verse 32, 603,550. And verse 34 says, the people of Israel did according to all that he who has commanded Moses. So they all camped by their standards. And then, whenever it became time for them to move out, they set out each one by his clan according to his father's house. And I have in my chronological companion of the Bible a chart that shows the encampment assignments with the compass that indicates where everybody's at, if you are interested in seeing how all of this information comes together. Chapter 3 of the book of Numbers says, "These are the generations of Aaron and Moses at the time when he who is spoke to Moses or with Moses on Mount Sinai. These are the names of the sons of Aaron: Nadab, the firstborn, and Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. These are the names of the sons of Aaron, the anointed priests whom he ordained to serve as priests. But Nadab and Abihu died before he who is when they offered unauthorized fire before he who is in the wilderness of Sinai, and they had no children." Now that's kind of strange, because as I already told you, it seems that they must have been in their 40s, maybe even their 50s, but they had no kids. Why? Is it possible that in the foreknowledge of God, knowing what these guys were going to eventually do, he had not given them the chance to have kids? Don't know. Just kind of throw that out there to chew on. But we do know this at the end of verse 4. "So Eleazar and Ithamar served as priests in the lifetime of Aaron, their father." So they become the priests of the wilderness experience, and they will also provide, through their children, the next generation of priests that will be the priests of entering the promised land. Now, we've already read the duties of the Levites that make up the rest of chapter 3. I chose to do that on the day that they were dedicated during the dedication ceremonies. So now we are left with chapter 4 in the book of Numbers, where it says this at the beginning: "He who is spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, take a census of the sons of Kohath from among the sons of Levi by their clans and their fathers' houses." So the sub-tribe or the clan of Kohath is one of the Levitical tribes that have been singled out for responsibility over the tabernacle and its all its components. And so in their census, it is not from 20 years upward. It is a very tight 30 to 50 years old. That's in verse 3. From 30 years old up to 50 years old, all who can come on duty to do the work of the tent of meeting. So the only ones taken in this census are those that are physically fit enough to do fairly demanding labor, physical labor, because these guys are going to be tearing down and packing up the parts of the tabernacle and taking it to the next place. And then once you're there, unwrapping them and putting them together. And so that's pretty arduous work. And so only 30 to 50 are included in that service. Verse 4, "This is the service of the sons of Kohath in the tent of meeting, the most holy things." So the Kohathites are the ones that carry all those things that are used for worship. And this is how they prepare to move from place to place. When the camp is to set out, Aaron and his sons, the priests, will go in and take down the veil of the screen and cover the Ark of the Testimony with it. So they will go in and take that veil that is between the holy place where the priests do their daily work and the most holy place where the Ark of the Covenant is. They will take that veil and put it up and over the top of the Ark of the Covenant. Verse 6, then they will put on it a covering of goatskin and spread on top of that a cloth of olive blue and shall put in its poles. Actually, its poles are already there. So they may actually slide the poles back into full position because there's some indication that they pull those poles forward to really define things for the Ark of the Covenant in the holy place in front of it. So they've basically just wrapped up the Ark of the Covenant. Verse 7, over the table of the bread of presence, they shall spread a cloth of blue and put on it its plates and its dishes, its incense, the bowls, the flagons for the drink offering, the regular showbread, or the regular bread of the presence, also shall be on it. They shall then spread over them a cloth of scarlet and cover the same with a covering of goatskin and shall put in its poles. So they're basically packing everything up for transport. Then they do the same thing to the lampstand. They use a cloth of blue, and they take all of its little bits and pieces, and then they cover it with the goat skin. And then there's a carrying frame that's mentioned in verse number 10. Verse 11, then they take the golden altar, do the same thing with it and all its bits and pieces. And then, once they've got all the stuff inside, verse 13, they shall take away the ashes from the altar and spread a purple cloth over it. So this is outside, the big altar of sacrifice. Then pack everything that goes with it inside that, put in its poles. After they've done all of this, they come out, because the priests are the ones that are packing everything up with the cloths of these holy items. These, then, verse 15 finishes, are the things of the tent of meeting that the sons of Kohath are to carry. And we're out of time. Mark your place. We'll get back into the Word when we can.